Today's scripture comes from Timothy 6, verse 6 through 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you are made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, we will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for offering those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you, and we thank you for speaking into our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace behind it, for the power. Help us to receive it. Help us to be open to how it changes us into your disciples. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. See if any of these sound familiar. Visa, it's where you want to be. There's always something more to discover with your Discover card. Membership has its privileges, and of course, American Express. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. You've heard those, and you're familiar with them. And you're also familiar, because you're alive, with what that comes out of, where that has been developed, those words. It's been developed by individuals that communicate to us, want to communicate to us, that there is so much more to life. And if we simply trust in that piece of plastic, we're going to gain it. We're going to get it. Well, if we trust in that piece of plastic, we may get it, but it's a different kind of thing that we're going to get. This pastoral epistle, this letter, is something that kind of preaches itself. You can read through these words, hear them, read through them again, And the directions are fairly clear in what we are called to do. And yet, there's something about them that continues to speak into our lives, that reminds us that it's not because we have the most toys. It's not because we have the most pieces of plastic, cards. It's not any of those things. What matters most in life and what is truly lasting and what truly leads to deeper, more sustaining and blessed living is a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is what the truth of these words today offers us. It's always interesting, isn't it, whenever we look at a particular section of Scripture, and within that section of Scripture, there is a verse that has been misquoted time and time again. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money itself being a root of all kinds of evil, but it's that love. Whenever you love it, whenever you adore it, I've seen videos, music videos, where they show people throwing up money and it just kind of rains down over them. Or they're just kind of laying in a bunch of coins and look at what I have and look at this. Aren't I blessed? It's not lasting. But money itself can do an awful lot of good. We understand in the Bible there are individuals that were wealthy, no question about it. Abraham, Job, for that matter, at the beginning and then at the end of the book. In between, not so much. But wealthy and able to use their wealth to bless others, to point others towards God. So money itself is not bad. It's how we think of it and how we use it. This epistle, or Paul basically sharing with a brother in Christ that these are things that are important, reminds us that the words of Sheryl Crow, who's a musician, okay? Sheryl Crow, who's a musician, and she had a song called Soak Up the Sun. These words are very true, and I want you to hear them. It's not what you want, it's wanting what you've got. I like that. Not seeking after something else that's, okay, this is going to make me happy. Well, okay, that doesn't. Put it away. It's like Christmas morning. Ooh! 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 Onto the next thing. You know what I'm talking about? Unwrapping it. Onto the next thing. What is God doing in your life already? How is God working in your journey already? Tahira Hira, a professor of human development and family studies at Iowa State University, explains it for us this way. Our money behavior is actually a big expression of who we are inside. Let me repeat that. Our money behavior is actually a big expression of who we are inside. It shows how much we are willing to accept reality and how much we want to be something that we are not. Appearance is valued in a narcissistic society, isn't it? Don't make me say narcissistic anymore. If clothes do not make a man, you can't prove it by us. Clothing and cosmetics are mega billion-dollar industries. We are a driven society. Our spending rises out of our need for instant gratification. I want it now. The truth is that the quality of our life today very much matters because tomorrow is not promised us. Eat drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Okay, that's the sermon for today. Have a great day. Sometimes we live like that, though. But there's so much more to living. And Paul talks about this. He talks about eternal life, and he talks about true life in this scripture. I'd really like to focus on those two things. Eternal life and true life. Paul uses these phrases, and they are terms that employ words, with a Greek root that means, understand this, take hold of, grasp, catch. Eternal life and true life are alternatives to instant gratification, are alternatives to life that really is empty, are alternative realities that are to be seized. Eternal life. Eternal life is not something simply that is in the then and there. You know, at this church, we celebrate eternal healing. We celebrate resurrection. We celebrate that embrace of God around those brothers and sisters who have gone on into glory. Certainly, we do that. No question about it. But with the coming of Christ into the world, with the entrance of Christ into our midst, Jesus himself proclaimed that the kingdom of God is what? At hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're seeing the kingdom being ushered in by me being present here right now. So we're already in touch with that which is eternal when we have that relationship with God through Christ, because we are in touch with Christ, who connects us, brings us into closer relationship with God. You see that? We're already in touch with the eternal. The reality of God's life-giving presence establishes itself in this area and shapes the human perspective on life and on the materials of this world. This world is passing. But this is the startling truth. We are not. Certainly, in this life, we are at some point. But is there eternity? Is there more beyond this life? As Christians, we say, amen. Amen. True life, then. True life, Paul says, is something that is not about simply pursuing riches. God gives us life in order that we could experience his peace, his love, and let's face it, sometimes his sustaining presence, because sometimes life is not nice. I don't know if you've ever seen a bumper sticker that said that, life is not nice. I don't think they're going to start making them either. But sometimes that's true, isn't it? Life is not nice for one reason or another. But our God never stops working. That's a greater reality in the midst of that. And when we have that true life, that real life, not based on chasing after something that fades away, but opening ourselves to that which is eternal, then we understand that even though we're going through challenges, having just come through challenges, or facing challenges, God is at work no matter what. In our day, human trafficking serves as a poignant reminder, an example of the destructive pursuit of wealth. In the past 15 years, as many as 2 million people have left their homes and entered into human slavery. That's every year. The trafficking of persons is established to net around 10 billion dollars annually. The pursuit of what? The majority of these persons are forced into sex work, hard labor, or servitude. Many suffer repeated physical and emotional forms of violence that threaten their very existence as humans. While Paul likely was not thinking of human slavery when he detailed the destruction wrought by a pursuit of wealth, the problem of human trafficking illustrates this point clearly. The love of money is the source of all sorts of evil. By contrast, the love of God, quote, who gives life to all things, end quote, should affirm the real life of ourselves and of others. Now, earlier in our worship, I had you share those four words. Lord, here I am. I had you share those. And that's also part of what this scripture passage is telling us today as well. Whenever we understand that it's not pursuing after things that will rust and fall apart and fall away, things that we can't take with us, we understand that it's very much about God at work in us, mind, body, and spirit. Jane Ann Ferguson, Reverend Jane Ann Ferguson, offers this story. Recently, I attended the seventh degree testing of a black belt Taekwondo master. Seventh degree testing. Anybody here? Taekwondo? Judo? Karate? Okay. I just want to know who I need to be friends with. So, the master had studied 35 years, almost 90% of his life, to reach the level of competency and discipline he demonstrated that day. The physical athleticism was astounding, Reverend Ferguson writes. Even more admirable was the, quote, confession, end quote, of the way the master lived his life in order to fund his body's physical performance. It didn't just happen, friends. It took work. At his testing event, the master spoke of seven qualities necessary for the achievement of black belt excellence. This was the list: vision, belief in action, integrity, persistence, expansion, compassion, acceptance, and surrender. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 there. I forget to tell, I hesitate to tell the author, but there's 8. I just wanted to let you know that your pastor can count also. These qualities are the right ways he is called to follow in his life as an athlete, a martial arts master, and a teacher. However, Reverend Ferguson concludes, it was clear that his athletic life is not separate from the rest of his life. These qualities encompass and fund the confession of this man's entire life. There are other words in this scripture passage that we are called to offer. It says, but as for you, child of God, in verse 11, shun all of this. And Paul was just writing about those who are eager to be rich, who have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, child of God, shun all this. And then he gives a list. Verse 11, look at this later. He gives a list of qualities that help us in our growth. Qualities that serve us well as we seek to be disciples of Christ, people of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Can we do that? Can we at least pursue them? Can we at least be open to those things? Giving it a try. Are we always going to be successful in that? Absolutely not. But we still open ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to try your way now, because my way hasn't been working out real well. Lord, I've been kind of bumping my head against the wall. Lord, I've been kind of tripping and stumbling. And I know even whenever I follow you, there might still be some trips, stumbles, there might be some more head hitting into the wall, but I know that I'm going to be doing something that is lasting, that is eternal. We put things in perspective whenever we accept that saving relationship with God through Christ. We put things in perspective because of the cross and what it means. We put things into perspective because we realize what's lasting versus what fades away, blows away. We, as the people of God, are called to be open to how God is forming us, molding us, changing us. Because, friends, now more than ever, the world needs the church. Our communities need Christians that are sharing God's love. And we need to take that message of grace out to whoever God puts in front of us. Are you open to that? In this time of reflection and thinking about what you just answered yes to, think about those things that are mentioned in verse 11. Think about those things that we are called to be about. Righteousness, and we're pursuing these things. So I don't know that we ever actually catch them, okay? But we're pursuing these things. It's actively something that we're doing, that we're focused on. And this is a release, my friends, because whenever you're focused on things of God, that brings about a joy. Not that we're always happy, that brings about a joy, a deep abiding presence of God. Think about this time and this time of reflection. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Join with me in prayer.